Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Golf Podcast. If you're in our Facebook group, I had posed the question last week asking if it was time to change the intro music. You remember that, Mike?
Yeah, you did.
And actually, one funny thing that people pointed out, a lot of people who watch the podcast now on YouTube, we don't play the intro on YouTube. We just dive right in. But for those of you who do listen to us on iTunes and everywhere else, SoundCloud, astounding, the votes were in the favor of keeping the music in the intro.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, I kind of agree now. I originally said it's time for a change. I'm all about a music change just to make things fresh because we've done it once before.
Yeah.
Right. But then to some of the members' points, the, you know, don't fix – what do you say? Someone said don't fix what's not broken, really.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
If you change the theme song to Friends, would it be Friends anymore? It'd be different.
Yeah, so now I feel more attached to it than I was before.
Yeah, now I feel even more attached. Exactly right.
But hey, look, that's one more reason. If you're not already in the Facebook group, hop in there. Join us. It's free. You can just go to Facebook, search Golficity or the Golf Podcast. But it's a great place, like I said, for us to chat between episodes, and we always value the feedback of everybody out there who's listening and watching the show. So, you know, that's a great place to get that. And we put polls like that up pretty often.
You know, I'm upset you kind of burst my bubble before, because I was going to make a note that because this is episode 260, I had a fun little mathematic equation. If you divide it by 52 weeks, it equals 5, which means we have 5 years of podcasts, 5 years worth of weekly podcasts. And then you reminded me that in the beginning we did it bi-weekly.
For a very short time. Yeah. We had I believe it was one winter where we were jammed up with something we had going on, and we did it bi-weekly for like, I don't know. I want to say 2 or 3 months. So it's okay. Close to your 5 years. It's close.
We'll never know, but it's close.
It's very close. All right. Let's do a quick word from our sponsor. And then I've got a couple things I want to chat about, a couple things I want to highlight that are going on around Golficity, some things that we've got upcoming. And then later in the show, we're going to talk about a topic, an instructional topic that we've been diving into a little bit about how, where, when, you know, when to get involved with choking down on the club, what can do for you, and how you can kind of step a little bit outside some of your stock shots and do a little bit more, make each club in your bag a little bit more versatile. So we'll dive into that in a second. Guys, as always, this episode is brought to you by ShotScope. You guys see us wearing the V2 all the time in the videos. If you watch us on YouTube, we love them. We've been having a lot of fun with tracking our stats. We talked about when we kicked off the year, some of the different stats we're going to target in 2019. We're using our ShotScope to track all of that. And what I really like seeing is it's really starting to catch on. We're seeing more and more people using the V2, especially in our Facebook group. So everybody who's been in there, they've been posting pictures. A lot of guys just can't wait for the spring so they can get out there and use them. But for those of you who are new to the show, the ShotScope V2, it's an all-in-one stat tracking system. Mike, it's got that GPS watch, but in the background, all your statistics are being tracked, right?
Yeah, and over 40,000 courses. And you know what I'm loving? Their continued improvement and updates, Frank, right? They're always trying – they're striving to always make this thing better. And I really love seeing that. So what does it do? I mean, here's simple. It collects hundreds of stats. Frank, ask me real quick my fairway hit percentage in 2018. Go ahead.
Is this going to be a humble brag? What's this number?
No.
Let's hear it.
Go ahead. 24%. All right. So it's not that great. You know, I'm hitting
gives
one
you
out
something
of every,
to work on, right?
Gives me something to work on. And my miss, it's primarily right. So get this. When I miss the fairway, my proximity to the hole on my approach shots is average 28 feet. But when I'm in the fairway, get this, 12 feet. So
wow. It
shows you I got to get in the fairway more. Obviously, we all do. But for my game, my particular game, the ShotScope told me get the ball in the fairway more, maybe be a little smarter off the tee, try to figure out that part of my game. And you see, I'm getting closer to the pin, so I'm going to score much better. I love this thing. So listen, if you haven't done so already, grab the ShotScope V2, visit shotscope.com/golficity, or just use the coupon code Golficity for $40 off the price. That's ShotScope. Check them out.
And that's another reason too, you know, I just thought about it, to join the Facebook group, because last week, I believe it was, there was an unbeatable deal on the ShotScope. I think it was like $160, like something silly, that the ShotScope team had posted exclusively in there just for the group. The ShotScope team, they're great guys. They're very active in the group. They're answering questions and doing stuff like that. So we appreciate that. We always appreciate that when our sponsors go that extra mile. Okay, so a couple things that we want to talk about. First, Mike, did you get a chance to watch the WGC Mexico at all last week?
I did watch that incredible display from DJ.
I mean, you hear the question raised every once in a while, like, who's the best when everybody is playing their best? And I think DJ made a strong campaign for that last week. I mean, because the way McIlroy was playing was tremendous. And for him to still, I think it was like, end up being, what was it, 4 or 5 strokes that he lost to DJ. He couldn't catch him. He was just uncatchable. He was untouchable. But it was just tremendous to see the way he moved that ball, you know, around that course that day. I mean, tremendous. Even like guys like, Justin Thomas was playing lights out.
Yeah, what a day he had.
The birdie run he went on. I mean, incredible. But no matter, it seemed like what anybody else did, there was just no catching DJ. It was phenomenal.
No, not at all. And it's, you know, I did not know this. 20 wins get you lifetime membership on the PGA Tour. I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, obviously DJ had lifetime regardless. The guy's an animal, right. You know. But there's just like one little tidbit, never knew.
Well, 20 wins put him in a serious category of names. If you look at it, some of the guys who have 20 wins, you know, throughout history. But I tell you what, I mean, I feel like he's just beginning, so to speak. I think he's settled into a tremendous groove where not only is he performing incredibly well, I think his head and where he's at has kind of really leveled off in a place where he can start to really excel. I mean, it wasn't very long ago. It was 2 years ago, I think it was, or maybe it was 3, where he had the suspension, you know, doing some stupid stuff, you know,
sure.
Mm-hmm. Young guy, not necessarily thinking. I heard, his father-in-law, Wayne Gretzky, straightened him out a little bit. But he seems to have his head on straight right now, and he's just tearing it up. And it makes me very interested to see what he's going to do the rest of the season, the rest of his career. I mean, this is a guy who could have plenty more time to play. He's a guy who could come in with 40, 50 wins on the PGA Tour easy. I mean, that's tremendous. That's Hall of Fame stuff.
It really is. And it always throws me for one when I see him just play like crap, you know, cause it's so weird to see these guys show up the way they do some weeks. And then other weeks are like, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. And, you know, but like you said, Rory's hot. We got Bay Hill coming up soon. So he's going to go there and try to defend. So that guy's heating up right in time for a title defense. A lot of good golf out there. Everyone's kind of heating up. This is fun.
Hard to believe it's been a full year since we were there at Bay Hill.
It really is. Really is. What an experience. You're going to be right around the corner from it too.
Yeah, I'm going down there for a little family vacation next week.
Very cool.
And I don't know. I my wife already sees that glimmer in my eyes. She's like, "You're gonna ditch and go to to Bay Hill, aren't you? You know what I mean?" And I'm like, "No, you know, you know, it's a family vacation." But I'm going to be right in Orlando. I would love nothing more than just to hop over and catch at least some of like the Thursday round or something. I just don't know if I'll be able to make it happen. But going back to what you're saying with these guys getting hot and cold, I think the biggest thing that we see is it really comes down to if their short game is on. I think Tiger said it really well the other day. Like they said, what was the difference? You scored so well today versus yesterday. And he's like, well, my putter got hot. You know, it's really when the putts just start to drop. And it's inspiration for me. I'm going to continue to work more and more on that. You know, I've been watching myself in some of the different videos that we shot and my putting. And it's just like, I don't like where my putting stroke is at right now. And we're going to be working on that soon with Kevin Sprecher. We're going down there to work on putting, but I liked what we saw last week. If you remember with Kyle, we had Kyle Aldering on the show and he said, really, you know, if you can drive the ball well and putt well, you know, that's when you start to see you really start playing the game well. And it makes a lot of sense. I mean, look at the stat you highlighted before. Look how much, you're closer you're putting your approach shots from the fairway. I find similarly, if I set myself up nice off the tee, I give myself such a better chance. But regardless, no matter how good a golfer you are, you're going to miss some greens. Mm-hmm. I actually, we had the video last week with the guys from Golfholics. I've said that I always like playing with good golfers because I always feel like I can learn something from them. Those guys are both tremendous golfers. I like to deconstruct how people think and learn from them. I was watching their live stream today that they had on YouTube, and Coach was talking about how chipping and putting, how important it was. And he said, basically, and he made a very good point. He said, you're going to miss greens. It's going to happen. If you can chip and putt, you know, that's where you're going to see your score start to really come off. The problem where we see people fall apart is when they're sloppy all over the greens. We've all had that. I struggle with that. I struggle with that a lot in Florida. Bladed chips.
Yeah.
Think about that. A bladed chip. We all hate to, like, you know, fly a 7-iron right of the green, you know, or something like that. But, you know, it still counts as a stroke the same way a bladed chip does. Except the bladed chip sets you up for now. You go all the way across the green. You got to chip back. You're frustrated. So I'm going to be, I think my biggest focus for the next, you know, couple weeks as the season starts to kick off, I'm going to focus on that like 25-yard circle around the green. And just try to get much better there, because I know that's where my game is lacking.
You got a big D cell problem right now in your game. Yeah. I've been calling you out on that for a while. You need to just park yourself at like a short game practice area with 100 balls and just get that feel back. And it'll come back.
I just don't have the confidence there. I just don't. And I got to work on that. Speaking of Kyle, if you guys missed last week's episode, episode 259, go back and check it out. I think in a long time, it's been since I remember having this many people reach out to us and say that, you know, a particular episode really, really made a tremendous difference in their golf game. A lot of you had messaged us in one way or another and said that episode with Kyle, some of you had said you're going to, you know, re-listen to it multiple times because he really did have a lot of wisdom that came out of him there. And if you're new to the show, if you're new to the podcast, you know, Mike and I, we are not, you know, pros in any way. We're not scratch golfers. We're working our way towards single digit handicaps. I mean, that's our goal right now. But what we talk about here, the instruction that we talk about is stuff that we're working on, stuff that we've learned, and we try to disseminate that so that you guys can hopefully learn something from it. And if it helps us, maybe it'll help you. But there's stuff that goes above and beyond our level of knowledge from an instruction standpoint. Obviously, that's where I like to fill in with some of these different instructors who we're learning from. And I've been learning from Kyle in one way or another for a very long time. I sent him, my swing videos years ago, and he would mark them up and send them back to me and give me tips. He wrote for Golficity for a little while. Same thing with, like, you see us working with Kevin Sprecher a lot. So we want to do that more. We want to bring more of that to you guys. We posted this in the Facebook group too. We appreciate all the suggestions there. But in general, if any of you have any other people that you'd like to hear from on the show, any other coaches, anybody who you feel like has a method that is, something that is helping people and you think it would translate well here for the people who listen to and watch the podcast, let us know. We're going to work on getting more of them on as guests, because I just think, we learned so much in that 30, 45 minutes sitting down and talking to some of these coaches, right, Mike?
Yeah, totally. And Kyle, like you said, it was very well received. And every time we meet up with Sprecher or do something with him, I always feel like some type of magic comes out of it. So yeah. I would love to do more of it this year, you know?
And speaking of which, a lot of you had asked for us to bring Sprecher on the show. We haven't had him on the podcast. As much as we've worked with him in the different videos, we haven't had him on the podcast. So we're going to work on doing that this spring. We're actually going to be back down there, like I said, working with him on the putting. If he has the time, we're going to try to grab him for a podcast interview. If for nothing else, a lot of you wanted to know a little bit more of his background. You know, being a top 100 teacher, obviously he's a wealth of knowledge, but some of you want to know a little bit more about who he is and how he got there. So we'll dive into that for sure. We'll definitely look into that. One other thing that I wanted to quickly highlight and give a shout out, Mike. One of our fans had reached out to us on originally through YouTube and then was DMing us. And I always like, we talk about growing the game. We talk about getting more, you know, younger people into the game and stuff like that. That's sure. great. Mm-hmm. I really like though when I see somebody who takes initiative. And I felt like this took a lot of initiative. Tyler, his name is, a young man, he reached out to us and he basically said he's a senior at Fruitland High School. It's a golf, he plays on the golf team there in Idaho. And he said last year they were good enough to make it to states. Unfortunately, they don't get any, extracurricular financial support. So what happened was that there's travel and there's things like that happen, you know, go along with states. And unfortunately, they ran out of money last year. They've got a couple of, from what I'm gathering here, they've got a couple of really great coaches who last year put up the money themselves out of their pocket to make the team be able to continue and compete. But, you know, Tyler and his whole team, they want to make sure that this year that they've got the funding. So they've put together a little fundraiser. They're trying to raise, $3,000, because they need that money for travel, tee times and some equipment, things like balls and stuff like that. Again, I played high school golf. I know what it's like. I know the camaraderie and stuff like that. And just when you see, again, when you see somebody who's taking that extra initiative and he's reaching out to people like us and stuff like that to see if there's anybody who can kind of help him and help his team. You just sense that passion. That's where I want to try to give back and help back. I always say I love the charitable piece of golf. I love the idea of giving back and just kind of reaching down and helping pull other people up to wherever you are, whatever level you're at. So, Mike and I, we're going to personally kick in $50, towards Tyler's fundraiser. And what I'll do too is I'm going to post the link to his fundraiser in the show notes. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, you'll see it in the video description. But it'll be in the show notes too. So if you're watching this or listening to this anywhere else, just go to golfhissy.com/episode260. And I'll post it there. There's obviously no obligation. I understand, you know, things, money can sometimes be tight. I understand there's a lot of things, a lot of fundraisers, a lot of things, you know, that you often can be committed to, but if nothing else, I told Tyler the least we could do, we'll share the link for him and, you guys can take a look at his fundraiser. And if it's something that you wanted to jump in and support to me, I could see they've got a little video there on their page. It looks like a good group of kids. So, Tyler, the whole Fruitland golf team, I wish you guys the best this year. Keep grinding, but most importantly, have fun out there. That's what it's all about. And, hope you guys meet your goal. All right, Mike, let's do a word from our sponsor and then let's talk about our instructional piece tonight. How's that sound?
Yeah, that sounds great. So this episode is sponsored by Titleist, the number one ball in golf. So the all-new Pro V1 and Pro V1X, they've been redesigned for more speed, more precision, and more consistency than ever before. So comparing the two, Pro V1 has a softer feel and a lower flight than the Pro V1X. And the Pro V1X has a higher flight with more spin and a firmer feel. But both models continue to provide proven drop and stop, greenside control, lasting durability, and unsurpassed quality. Frank, I'm talking about this for the last couple of weeks because we just played a whole bunch of rounds in Florida. I've noticed it that the ball, just that greenside, that spin control, I love that I'm getting that now. And it's so great. I feel like I'm getting that. That's contributing to that proximity, you know, and it's huge part of my game.
Look, no doubt about it. And that huge pop that you're getting, you know, off the driver, the distance.
Yeah.
We talked, you know, with Titleist, talked with Michael Mahoney, a couple weeks ago. And I thought that was such a smart concept they did when they said, how do we make a ball that's already very long? The Pro V1, Pro V1X are very long. How do they make it longer? And they looked at it and they redesigned it. They said, let's just put more of what's fast into it and take out, you know, more of what's not fast. And the cover is the type of material that's not fast. So what they did is they reworked it so they can make that cover 17% thinner, which is it's a remarkable change being able to do that because they've got it. We saw the ball production. We went up to the ball plant. You mm-hmm. see what goes into it. So a change this big does require a lot of work and wheels in motion, but they've got an incredibly smart team up there. So what they did was they were able to do that. They created the fastest Pro V1 and Pro V1X yet. And here's a cool thing for you yellow ball players, beginning in March, which is right now, right around the corner here. Mm-hmm. Both the Pro V1 and Pro V1X are going to be available in yellow. Look, the ball has changed our game in so many different ways. I'm always proud to put it in play, especially ever since going and seeing how it's made. It's a ball that I'm very proud to put in play. So Check it out, guys. Prove how good you can be. Tee up the new Pro V1 or Pro V1X on your next round. All right. So let's talk a little bit about choking down. And this is something that it may sound like, okay, you know, it's one of those topics that seems pretty straightforward. Like when I want to take a little bit off it, I choke down, whatever. But I think it's something that's overlooked by a lot of amateur and newer golfers. Myself is one of those ones who's included. I sometimes just forget to think about this small change that you can make that can make a pretty big change in things like ball flight, spin, distance, all those types of things, just by something as simple as just moving your grip down the hand a little bit. So what I want to talk about first is, you know, what difference it makes. And again, one of my biggest things with any of these instructional topics we do is just trying to bring awareness to these things. Because sure, if you're a scratch golfer, it's probably something that's second nature to you. There's certain spots where you just choke down or whatever it may be, just to change that flight a little bit or change the distance. But again, for some newer golfers who are just so concerned with just putting a good swing on the ball, we don't think about making these little changes and these little changes that can go a long way towards getting us the result we want. So obviously, if you're going to choke down the club, it means moving your hands down the grip at address. But you do need to have a good reason to do it. If there's nothing to gain by choking down, we would all just keep that standard grip that we're all comfortable with and hit a normal shot. So let's talk about the three things that you can gain by choking down and the differences it makes. Now, I'm not going to get into a Bryson DeChambeau level physics lesson here.
Please don't.
I would not want to go down that route, but I want to give you guys at least the high level, results of choking down. And the reasons are it's all based in physics. But, the first thing is it's going to reduce the distance of the shot. So for example, let's say you usually hit your 7-iron 150 yards, but you need that 145 shot. What you can do there is choke down an inch or two and make a comfortable swing. And that should reduce, you know, that overall distance by a little bit. I like this idea versus the idea of trying to change up your swing, like swinging. I'm going to take a 7-iron and swing at 80%, you know, or something like that. When we start to change the speed and the fullness of our swing, I think we're introducing a lot more variables, especially again, this is a more even geared towards higher and mid-level handicaps where you're just like, you get out of your comfort zone. Let's say you've gotten yourself pretty darn comfortable with your regular swing and now you start to try to alter that in some way. That's where things can kind of go off. Your tempo can go off, your ball contact, whatever. Here's an option that you have to make that club a little bit more versatile where you can hit it a little bit less far, you know, versus the other side of it. Let's say I take my 8-iron and try to like really, you know, pound it to reach a 145. I can take a 7-iron, swing my same exact swing, just choke down an inch or two. And that should be able to get me to that 145 number. Now, these numbers may vary based on how far you hit the ball. But the idea being, obviously, longer shaft is going to generate more club head speed. That's why you generate the most club head speed with your driver versus your pitching wedge. So just by, again, the physics of it, just by shortening that shaft up a bit, you're going to generate less, you know, swing speed. So in a situation like this, experiment with it. Go out there on the range and just kind of see how far things fly. Maybe bring your range finder out there, take a look at some different targets. Try just what happens if I choke down an inch, what happens if I choke down two, but use that same swing. You know, don't compound the issue by choking down and then also altering your swing. And now it's like which one had which effect, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you bring this one up first. The Celebration Golf Club vlog that we're bringing out just in a couple days, there was one shot and I narrated, I hit a booming drive off the tee. I even said, I measured 301 yards and I said I had about 85 left. And I ended up using one of these kind of knockdown 7-irons to get the ball up to the green because I wanted to keep it low and run it up there about 85 yards. Worked really well for me at that point. And I started using that a lot more. You know, I love this, reduce the distance of the shot. You know, and a lot of times I don't, like, I always talk about how I'm scared to death about the 85 yards. And then, this is like kind of like the perfect, you know, shot. I do. I choke down on it. I take about a 50% half swing, and I, you know, I still use the same speed. It's not a softer speed, but this has been working wonders for my game around the green because I'm nervous of chunking. You know me.
Yeah. Which, by the way, shout out to Matt from Mr. Short
Game. Yeah. How cool was that, right?
That was so cool. I walked into your office the other day, and I see you just like watching it on the TV, and he's talking to you.
He's talking to me.
So do you want, if anybody missed it, you want to fill in what happened there?
Yeah. So Mr. Short Game, pretty big, you know, YouTuber out there, does a lot of great videos of tips and fun things.
Who, by the way, is a guy we should probably get on the show at some point.
Yeah, we should do that. We should do that.
Here. Yeah.
So I'm in Orlando, but he was busy in front of the camera. I didn't want to interrupt him during his flow. But he was recording a lot of stuff down there. Anyway, he listens to the podcast. So big shout out to you, Matt. Thanks again for this. He heard my story about how I'm scared to death of those 85 and in shots from the fairway. And he took it upon himself to do this whole like 12-minute video of, you know, a great tips for me to get through that. And he actually brought in clips from the show and clips from our recent cold weather vlog at Wild Turkey. He really analyzed the swing, so I give him a lot of credit. It was pretty sweet.
It was really awesome, you know, and if you guys haven't checked him out, check out Mr. Short Game, because I do really like, I mean, he's got some really actionable tips and instruction. You know, we don't get into instruction really on our videos and in YouTube, because as we say, we're not instructors. We're guys who are learning the game. So here's a great place for us to talk about that journey. But I like to leave the real instruction to those guys. And he's one of the really good ones out there. So definitely check that out.
Frank, before you go on to the next ones, I see a place in our near future where these tips are going to be really helpful. Where do you think?
For what? For keeping the ball low and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Scotland.
Right. Because of the wind, obviously. But then we also heard that the fairways there are like concrete and they're just going to run.
Yeah.
You know, so if you got a 25-mile-per-hour, 30-mile-per-hour whipping day in Scotland with a hard fairway and I'm 85 out, middle of the fairway, I might be choking down and running that ball up there.
I think it was – I'm trying to remember. We had dinner when we were down at the PGA show. We had dinner with – Piers and Andy from Me and My Golf, and Peter Finch was there, and Carmichael Brown.
Yeah.
So, and I think if I remember, because that was a wild week, if I remember, I think it was Peter Finch who told us that when he was playing, you know, some of the rounds he's playing over there, he said the problem wasn't distance as far as hitting the ball further. It was hitting the ball less far. He was saying that it was rolling so much. Mm-hmm. It was like it was hard to even decide what club to hit because everything had like an extra 50-yard rollout.
Yes.
So he was saying it was like, it wasn't getting distance. It was stopping the ball that was getting really difficult. So I'm interested to take that on. So we'll be practicing some of these shots for sure before we head over there.
We will. And I'm always looking at the ShotScope leaderboards for driving distance. It's always a guy in Scotland.
Yeah, because it's ridiculous.
It's like 420 yards. Yeah.
I know. It's so wild. But it'll be great. I just can't wait. Speaking of which, we're booking our flights this week. So yes, we will have more information on it very soon of when we'll be there. And I really appreciate that a lot of you who are over there in Scotland have reached out one way or another. Whether it be just to caddy or whatever, we're going to try to meet up as we do with every trip, try to meet up with as many people as we can. In this particular trip, we're not necessarily putting it together, the itinerary. We're going to kind of be shuffled around a little bit. So when we know more, we don't know a whole ton about the exact itinerary where we'll be. When we know more, we'll let some of you guys know. So maybe we can do some meetups. All right. So diving back into it, we talked about how choking down is going to reduce that distance of the shot. Another thing that it's going to do is it's going to take some spin off the ball. Obviously, you know, when you're taking your normal grip, that's when you're going to maximize backspin. As you move down and choke down a little bit, it's going to reduce some of that backspin. And so if you do have a shot that you need to take a little bit of a lower spin rate here, again, choking down is going to help. And then the last thing was something that Mike had just highlighted, fighting the elements. And this is something we've addressed. We've done a couple of episodes on fighting the wind and stuff like that. It's really, this is where, if anywhere, I have used it to my advantage. I think it's a very obvious go-to when it's very windy. But I think it's the other times that I hadn't thought about it when there wasn't wind and I just needed to take a little bit off. I think I was kind of going to those less than full swings rather than first experimenting with choking down a little bit. But if you do need to get that little bit lower ball flight, one part of that is going to be choking down a little bit for these reasons. Like I said, less backspin. Also, the result is going to be less height. As you know, again, physics, when you impart that backspin on the ball, that's what causes it to lift, and that's when you get a little bit more height out of it. So those are the type of situations and instances where you're going to want to be able to do it. The next part, we always talk about strategy, planning, and then there's execution. For execution, giving it a try, you've heard us say this with pretty much every tip we've given. Don't let the first time you do it be out on the golf course. Practice it first. You know, and it may seem funny to go to the range and practice a choke down shot, but the reality is, it's like we heard Kyle say in last week's episode, too many of us go to the range and practice the same shots, the same stock shots. Get out of your comfort zone, try some other things, because that's why so many of us also have trouble transitioning that game out to the course. Because right. when we go out there and we try these different shots to try to match different situations that we didn't think of on the range. None of us, you know, we don't go to the range and practice a choke down shot, but then we go to the course and we think this is a perfect situation where I should just choke down a little bit. Or maybe you're playing with a better golfer who's very used to this, or even a coach, and they're like, you know, just choke down on this shot a little bit. And then you go to do it and you can't execute it because you haven't practiced it. So again, bringing people's awareness to it. This is where we're, you know, the point we want to make here. Go out there, you know, give it a try a couple times on the range. Get used to it, see how it feels. As you do that, obviously the instruction could be like start and end, be like, just choke down a couple inches and like, okay, show's over, right? Podcast done.
Right.
But there's a little bit more to it than that. And a couple key things you want to keep in mind when you do choke down. The first is keep that smooth swing. We talk about tempo. Mike, episode from what
the par three. Yeah. What a shot
you hit there, dude.
Yeah.
And that's the celebration video when we played a celebration golf club. Mike just pured this one par three. I think it was 170 yard, right?
186 yards, pin in the back, but I ended up hitting, I stuck it, the tempo. We kept talking about how smooth that tempo was. It was so smooth, and I love watching that clip back over and over again.
God, does it feel good when you just have that smooth tempo?
Yeah,
you know, you just feel like you're doing something right out there.
Right.
But that's it. Like, you got to keep that normal tempo, even if you choke down. Often what happens is if you choke down, is that there's this propensity to rush it a little bit. And if you do that, you know, you're going to end up causing more problems. You got to keep it smooth, keep that same swing tempo. Don't change a whole lot with that. Just choke down that inch or two. And also, when we say choke down, I'm not talking about going all the way down to the metal. You know, just an inch or two is all that you need to really make a difference. The only time I ever choke down where I'm actually holding like beneath the grip is on certain chips where I need a little, you know, that real control of that club face. And that's where I'll choke down that far. But for a full swing, you know, you don't need to be choking down that far. The other thing you want to make sure you do, keep yourself, you know, keep a mindset where you're going to stay down through impact. Remember, the club, it's effectively shorter than it would be on a normal swing. So that means you don't have as much club between your hands and the ground. So you're going to really need to do a good job of staying down through impact to make that clean contact. If you're the type of person who already struggles with this, if you're struggling with hitting some balls thin, topping them, which we're going to be talking about more on the show in general, here, you got to really be aware of this, because if you come up at all, you're going to really catch it thin, especially with that shortened club. So really focus on still staying down through impact, making that, you know, hit the little ball before you hit the big ball, you know, golf ball first, then the earth, probably my biggest problem. I go back, I watch my swing all the time in slow motion, and I always seem to be clipping the earth like a millisecond before the ball, working on it. I'm working on it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm working on it. We're getting there. But again, it's bringing these reminders. And then some people, what they need to do is if anything, maybe cut the finish a little bit. I like to do this in a higher wind situation. It's just a matter of just kind of cutting the follow through down just a little bit. Again, this can be something that can be a little bit of a personal preference. Sometimes it just feels a little bit more natural to cut the follow through a little bit short on a choke down. It also might depend on the actual shot you're playing. If you are playing the low punch, So you'll have to see it and do that, but you got to think about it situationally. Once you get comfortable with that, you're meant in practice, take you to the range, couple sessions, get practice. Then it's time to go out there and test it on the course. One of the big keys, it's going to be to choose your spots wisely. You don't want to force this shot. You don't want to force it into action. You only want to use it when it's called for. If you know, you got to think about those things. Do I need to take a little distance off this shot, but not quite enough distance to drop down to the next club? Do I need to hit a little bit lower? Don't force it for situations where you just want to show off your new shot. You know,
right?
Yep. It's generally speaking, so many of us make this hard game harder by doing certain things like this. You got to go for like whatever. Again, the risk reward, the shot that offers the most reward with the lowest risk. And usually what that's going to be is to play a stock shot. If you've got a stock shot, a stock swing that you can do, if you know, again, situation might be you can hit a little bit less club or whatever it may be. Think about using that first before you move to these choke down or other type of situational shots. That said, if you've practiced it and you get in a situation where you need that shot, you can do it. So, is it going to be a shot you hit all the time? Absolutely not. Is it got a shot you're going to master just by one or two sessions on the range? No, it's not. But it can be a really incredible piece of the puzzle. It can be a great part of your overall golf arsenal to know this shot. So I think it's something that's good to bring attention to. If nothing else, when you watch like the PGA Tour and something like that this weekend, just maybe bring more awareness to it and just see like, where do you see guys hitting a little bit more of a choke down shot and why'd they hit that shot? Again, reverse engineering their thinking so that maybe you can use that out on the course. So I think as we do that, you know, and this is as you get towards that better and better golfer, these things start to become more and more tools that you can use when you attack the course. But again, it all comes down to learning them first so that you're not just swimming against the current. That's my take on it anyway.
Yeah, I'm a fan of this. I mean, I use it a lot. I mean, ball above my feet and choking down, keeping balls low, hitting that choke down punch shot like you mentioned. Had a nice one in the Golfholics Menory reunion video.
Yeah.
Where I was talking about how the pine trees the trying to get the ball through the trees, and I did. Same thing. So, you know, I use it a lot because I find myself often to the right side. As you all know, my game with the slice on the drive. So I have to come out. I got to get back out to the fairway, and I use this a lot. You know, like you said, get out there and practice. And usually the way I do practice this, I will usually start all of my range sessions off with this, believe it or not. I'll probably hit the first 5 to 6 balls with a 7 iron and just choke down and hit that little punch shot, because I never just go into like a full wedge. Everyone pulls the wedge out of the bag and they just start swinging their body like when they first roll out of the car. But I like to just like slowly work my way back to the full swing. And one of the ways I do it is just working on this shot.
Well, you know, you brought up a good point that we didn't even touch on here, was just variable lies. That's another place to use it too. If the ball mm-hmm. is up above your feet. And we did this in our playing lesson with Kevin Sprecher. And that's right. Where you see them, pros thinking so much differently than a lot of us. He's just like, okay, don't change anything. Same swing, same everything, but just choke up a little bit so that bring that club a little bit higher to match the lie. You know, let's say it was 4 inches. 4 inches is fairly dramatic, but let's say it was like that high. He's like, just choke up a couple inches and it changes the game right there. So it's a good solid point. All right. As always, love to hear everyone's feedback on it. If there's certain spots that you've used this shot, if it's a shot that you struggle with, if you've got anything to add to the conversation, let us know. You can post them in the comments below. If you're watching this, this podcast on either YouTube or Facebook. Otherwise, if you're listening to us, you can always message us, or you can post it in the Facebook group. That's always a great way. It's probably the quickest way to get in touch with us, is to post something in the Facebook group. You and I, Mike, we're in there. Often we live in there.
Yeah.
We kind of live in there, is right. So, I love it. I think it's such a great community. I appreciate every one of our listeners and everybody who's in the Facebook group is who make that group so great. I mean, you and I, we try to contribute to the conversation where we can, but really the reason the group is so great is because we've got such a great group of people in there helping each other out, answering each other's questions. I can't tell you how many times a day I see someone post in there that they need advice on something, you know,
right,
thinking about switching to this club, or thinking about buying my first set of used clubs, or I'm thinking about playing here. And you just see so many people jump in the conversation with just incredibly helpful information. It's like, well, when I did, I tried this, that, or the other thing. Or we've even had a lot of great meetups. A lot of people will be like, who's in the XYZ area and wants to get around in? And you'll see three or four people jump in. So we've had some great.
Yeah, that group has created friendships. There.
It really has. So it's really a fun time. And, you know, we push it hard here because we think it's got a lot of value. And it, like I said, it's 100% free. It's not a dime charge to be in the group. It's a public group. You know, you just join and join the conversation. You know, all we ask is that everybody keep it friendly, keep it fun. And, that's pretty much it. So check out the group, check out the show notes from this week's episode. You can get to those by going to golficity.com/episode260. And then next week, we've got a fun one for you guys. Speaking of Golfholics, we've got them on the show. We're going to be doing an interview with them. It's one that we recorded while we were down there. We're going to dive into a little bit about what they do and how they got their start. Really fun conversation. A couple of really down to earth guys. So I'm glad while we were down there, we got a chance to talk to them and record that podcast. So we're going to be, that's going to be on the show next week, and we'll see everybody again then. See you there.